Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. That's the location of the Ten Commandments. And we will read verses 8 through 11. As we consider the theme this morning, this Labor Day weekend of work and rest, honing in on this commandment, the theme of rest. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, I'll read it out loud. Would you please follow along silently? This is God's inspired word. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. So this ends the reading of God's inspired word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for inspiring the pen of Moses long ago and then delivering by the hand of God the Ten Commandments. We pray, O Lord, we would respect these divine commands from our transcendent and thrice holy God and read with reverence and then reflect with sincerity on what God calls us to do in our walk with him through Christ. We pray you would bless this sermon. There are some in this room who really need the sermon and others who need it equally. We constantly need reminding. So remind us in the divine way you have appointed this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. So what are you doing Labor Day weekend? You have your plans made for tomorrow, or maybe you've done them. It's a good question. Labor Day marks the end of summer, so we have mixed feelings about Labor Day. For those of us in this room who travel in high society, I don't know of any. If that's you, I'm sorry. Labor Day in high society is the last fashionable day of the year to wear white. So get your wardrobe straightened out. But in general, Labor Day is not about high society. Actually, Labor Day is about the common man and woman and child. Labor Day is to honor the American worker. First Monday in September of every year across the nation. Our federal government calls it Labor Day. All right, kids, what is Labor Day? We sometimes think it's last party of the summer day. But Labor Day is a tribute, quote, to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. That's a fine national holiday. Christians can agree with it because God is glorified by hard work. One Bible verse, because work is not our theme this morning, but one Bible verse just to remind you, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your strength or heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. There it is, the Christian work ethic, found in Colossians 3:23. But God has also commanded you to rest. That's our focus this morning on Labor Day weekend. The Lord God commands you to cease and desist and to rest. And it comes from the lips of the God who created the heavens and the earth in the space of 6 days and then rested on the seventh. God has blessed the Sabbath. God has hallowed the Sabbath in a sacred way. God commands you and I to keep a sacred rhythm built in during the creation week revealed by the Holy Scriptures. Sadly, our generation thinks we're wiser than God. Surprise, surprise. Have you ever thought you're wiser than God? Oh, no, Pastor, I don't think that. And yet we do in the back of our mind when we hear his command and say, well, maybe not. That's America today. We often ignore in America today the pattern of work and rest, the rhythm, the sacred divine rhythm created by God. So we stay up later and later, the blue glow coming forth from our windows by night and throughout the day. And so Americans are known for rushing from place to place. We fill every moment with frenzied activity, and I hear it as your pastor. Sometimes you're not collaborating with one another, saying, so how's that working for you? The pace you're going, how's that working for you? Well, it seems to go downhill to pastors and elders. We hear it. And as our congregants' lives grow more hectic and empty, we hear these complaints. I'm burnt out. I'm tired. I'm empty. What should I do? It's very simple. You need to rest. And we're going to hone this today. I'm not letting you off the hook. We're going to hang on this theme. You've got to rest by honoring the Sabbath as part of that rest. All right, so let's go to the fourth commandment. I read it, verse 8 through 11. It's the longest of the Ten Commandments. And it always gives the catechism kids trouble when they have to memorize the Ten Commandments. They get stuck on it. But we can break it down into three parts, and conveniently, that's the three points of our sermon. Verse 8 tells us what to do. Verse 9 through 10 tells us how to do it. Verse 11, why to do it. So let's begin with verse 8, what to do. Look at your Bible or device. We'll read it together. It says, we are to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So that's the first thing you are to do. You are to remember. You are to remember to rest. Now, have you ever had a boss tell you, hey, don't forget, take your break? That's like something a mother would say, right? You know, honey, are you getting rest? Are you sleeping right? You know, are you working too much, burning the candle at both ends? That's a mom thing to say. It's typically not a boss thing to say. Make sure you take all your break hour. Make sure you claim all that vacation time. Make sure you are taking your vacation. Hey, slow down a little bit. And yet, our Heavenly Father, who is also our Heavenly Boss, almost speaks like your mother. I want you to get that in your mind, okay? Your Heavenly Boss, who gives you many orders, talks like your mother and says, rest. Are you resting? Literally, what God says in this text is Shabbat. That's the Hebrew word. It literally means you need to cease and desist. I don't know if you've ever received a cease and desist order. It's such a great word, you know. Cease and desist. Stop it. Immediately. Put it down and rest. And the Lord here begins this command by saying the actual first thing about rest that's most important is you've got to remember it. All right. Before he gets to the part about telling you to rest, he says you've got to remember to rest. And by that command, we learn that it is human nature that we are prone to forget to rest. Okay, so we can say that. You know, you're prone to really get into whatever you're into and not pull yourself out of it. And so we're prone to forget to rest. You see, what's interesting is we're very used to people around us telling us, work, 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 get it done, get it done. And we're often used to telling ourselves, do, 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 do. So you're saying do, do, do. People are saying work, work, work. That is why we're often prone to forget God's command to rest. God's command to rest. Sometimes it's not obvious that we need to rest when we need to rest. Have you ever been so worked up you can't get worked down? Right? You're really into whatever you're doing. Whatever it is you're doing, you're really into it. You're so worked up you can't work down. That's why you've got to remember. You got to remember prior to getting worked up that you've got to rest. You've got to keep reminding yourself as you're worked up, you're going to have to rest so that you can rest. Now, what does this imply, this phrase, remember the Sabbath? Well, it implies another biblical teaching about rest. Are you ready? And it's this. It's more than just stimulating your memory. Remembering to rest means prepare to rest in advance. Prepare in advance. That's what the Sabbath teachings in God's Word are often including preparation pep talks. How to prepare for God's holy Sabbath. You're given preparation plans as well. You've got to think about it in advance. All right, so let me give you an illustration. So husbands, have you ever forgotten your wedding anniversary? Hope I don't bring up a sore topic here. If that's a sore topic, say, come see me afterwards and I'll sadly sing the blues with you. It really stinks to forget your wedding anniversary. Now, even worse, I think it's even more torture, is when you wake up and you remember it on the day of the anniversary. That's double torture. You know why? There's really nothing you can do. You've already ruined it. If you do not rise up with flowers in one hand and box of whatever confection that is the selection of your wife on the other hand, you just roll back. You're done. It's over. And why is your anniversary ruined? Is because you didn't prepare. You can't wake up on anniversary morning and say, hey, all right, it's time to celebrate. You've got to prepare for it in advance. And so it is with the Lord's Sabbath. You have to prepare. So how can you prepare for the Lord's Sabbath to rest better than you currently are? I'd like to introduce to you to Pastor Steve's diagnostic questions. I love diagnostic questions. Why? Those who succeed in life aren't those who have who are the most experienced. It's those who have the most evaluated experience. And so, let's say you have a cruddy wedding anniversary. Then ask yourselves four questions: What went right? What went wrong? What was missing? What was confusing? And take note, and then try it again next time. Well, you can do the same thing about how well are you resting on the Lord's Day by doing a diagnostic review, and we're going to do that right now. So here's the question: how are your Sundays going right now? How are your Sundays going right now? Are your Sundays restful or stressful? On a scale of 1 to 10, sort of, where are they at? Do you end your Sundays refreshed? Or do you end them tired? Here's another one. By the end of your typical Sunday, are you positive or negative? How about this? At the end of your normal Sunday, are you closer to God or have made no movement whatsoever? At the end of your Sundays, are you looking forward to your week or are you anxious about your week? All right. Now, that was a little bit of a diagnostic review. Now, maybe you answered those questions in your mind, and so now it is time for you to remember. That is to prepare in advance for next Sunday. All right, so let's prepare for next Sunday. Is there an anxious activity you can remove from your Sundays? Is there a restful activity that you can replace it with on your Sundays? Is there a helpful practice that would promote renewal and refreshment for you next Sunday? Is there a careless activity you're doing that interferes with your rest. Now you may be prepared for next Sunday. What I'd recommend is after next Sunday, at the end of the day, you look back and do a diagnostic again and remember the Sabbath for the next Sunday. So the command is to remember, and this is part of remembering the Sabbath. All right, this brings us to our second point from our text. How do we do it? How should we keep the Sabbath? The balanced answer to this is always behave as Jesus behaved. You will not go wrong as you look at your Lord. So from Jesus, we learn what our catechism says Christians should do on the Lord's Day. Christians should worship, rest, and do good deeds. We call it, in our confession of faith, worship, acts of mercy, and acts of necessity. All right, let's look at verses 9 and 10 of our text. the commandment goes on, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. Aha! Before I start talking about worship, rest, and good deeds, there's one more how to keep the Sabbath command nested in verse 9. And it's often overlooked. And here it is. Work hard before the Sabbath. All right. So work first before you rest. Always work first and then rest. Have you noticed that rest is not so refreshing when you don't work hard? It's a little bit like food. Have you ever heard the saying, hunger is food's best seasoning? What does that mean? It means when you're hungry, anything tastes good, right? Well, the same goes with rest. When one works hard, rest tastes very good. And so the first command we're getting from the command to rest is firstly, work hard first so that rest is best. So what this means is Sabbath keeping includes overcoming your problem with procrastination. It's a growing problem, procrastination, partly because there's so much distraction in modern day society that is actually socially supported. We have a lot of socially supported distraction. And so you and I are actually getting worse at procrastination rather than better at getting done what should be done. Also, we need to stop goofing off. Think about in your typical work day how much goof-off time. If you measured it, you would be pretty shocked. At so many little distractions and little indulgences you engage in, that at the end of the day you'd say, wow, I only got 2 hours and 45 minutes of work done in this 8-hour work day. And yet I was here all day and I feel pretty tired from 8 hours. And so what this command says is, look at it, it says labor 6 days. And implied is so that you can enjoy your rest when it comes. Think about the last vacation you went on. Did you ever go on that vacation with work hanging over your head? And so you brought your laptop. Naughty, 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 naughty. I'm sure somebody spoke up about it. If they didn't, they frowned at you. It's hard to enjoy time off when something is hanging over your head. So get it done or delegate it and go. This is what the command says. Work hard 6 days. Don't dilly-dally, don't delay, don't procrastinate. Get her done so you can rest. And so that's one reason we work hard. Yes, to glorify God, yes, to provide for ourselves, yes, to bless our neighbors, and yes, so that you can enjoy your rest day with nothing hanging over your head. All right, the second duty of the command is actually worship. So on the Sabbath, first, we work hard up until the Sabbath. And secondly, we worship. Now, to some people, well, let me just say this. For the Christian, rest without connection to God is not very restful. Okay, can I say that again? Rest without connection to God is not very restful. And so, in the Christian view of rest, it's always connected to worship. There's connecting with God through rest. So Sunday is a day of worship. We call it the worship day. And we see that in verse 10. Now you might say, well, where does it say we should worship on that day? It just says rest. Well, look at it. It says the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. You see that? The Sunday is to the Lord. It is a day that we are to the Lord in our resting. Then we see in Leviticus 19, verse 3, that God calls the Sabbath his Sabbath. You shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. Then in Leviticus 23, 3, he talks about publicly gathering on the Sabbath. He calls it a holy convocation. You professors at the university maybe are the few people who know what convocation means. It's not a practice we use. It's when the whole academic and community gets together to kick off the year. Convocation. It's a public gathering. And so it is a time for public worship. And then we always ask the question, well, how did Jesus spend his Sabbath? Well, we learn on Luke 4:16, what was his custom? It says, as was his custom, our Lord attended the synagogue. And what do you do in the synagogue? Well, in the synagogue, they read the scrolls publicly, they offered prayers publicly, and they gathered with God's people. That was our Lord's practice. I like how the Puritans described the Sabbath. They had this phrase called market day of the soul. They called Sundays the market day for the soul. Saturday was market day. You know, Monday through Friday was work day. Saturday was commerce day. And then Sunday was a day to do commerce with God, to do business with God. And so on the Lord's Day, we do work, but it's spiritual work. We do currency and trade, but it's spiritual currency trade. And and if you work at a drill press during the week or at a computer screen or at an office desk or any work location, your tools are different on Sunday. You set aside your broom and you pick up the tool of God's word and prayer, singing, celebrating the sacraments, sharing in Christian fellowship, giving offerings. Those are your tools on the workday. So, by the way, your ROI is awesome. Your return on investment is awesome when you pull out the tools of the market day for the soul. So Sunday is a day for worship. And then thirdly, we work hard before we rest. Secondly, we then come and worship. And then thirdly, we rest. We rest ourselves, mind, body, and soul. Look at your text again. It says, on it, the Sabbath, you shall do no work. Okay, Workaholics Anonymous out there, let's be frank. That is not fun. If you like to work, maybe you take your anxiety and you channel it through work. Truth be told, you're productive because otherwise you'd drive us all crazy, so you make money and we smile instead of driving us crazy with your anxiety. So you're a workaholic. Well, truth be told, I like to work too. It's hard to obey this command. And one reason it's hard is because God lets us, nay, commands us to work really hard for 6 days. You're allowed to channel your anxiety at work. You're allowed to use your gifts at work. All 6 days out of the week, you're allowed to do this. And suddenly, you are given the cease and desist order after going strong 6 days. And truth be told, you're probably not happy about that. And yet, this is the Lord's command. And I want to say, this command to rest is both intuitive and unintuitive at the same time. It's intuitive, but it's also unintuitive. The work and rest cycle of 6 days work, 1 day rest is built into the fabric of creation. The Bible tells us God created this way, 6 days to work, 1 day to rest. There is a mystical and spiritual connection to the creation because God did it this way. But you would never know it by looking at natural revelation. You need to read this in the Bible. There's no like sign somewhere in heaven that says rest after 6 days. And so there's a part of you that doesn't want to do it. During the French Revolution in the 18th century and during the Russian Revolution in the 20th century, these two governments were committed to being utterly secular. They felt religion had divided and harmed the people long enough. We want totally secular, atheistic governments. And so they actually both tried to lengthen their calendar week. Think about it. 7 is such a weird number, right? You know, our Gregorian calendar is a mess, you know. Okay, how many days this month? In January, there's about 30 this day. It's so messed up, right? We have to use our knuckles to know what day, how many days there are in a month. And if you don't know the knuckle trick, see me afterwards, kids. I'll teach you the knuckle trick, all right? But so they thought, that's not rational. And now we're in the age of reason, and so let's make everything based on 10. It's so much easier to add 90 and 90 than it is 19 and 19. So they went base 10, and they said, okay, 10-day weeks, 9 days of work, 1 day of rest. And what do you think labor thought about that? It exhausted them. They said, no. People got worn out. And so on one hand, it seemed logical to people, let's go 10. But then on the other hand, others protested and said, too much. And we've had this 6-in-1 rhythm for centuries. But a 9-in-1 rhythm lasted a generation or two or three and died. There is a divine 6-in-1 rhythm built into humanity, but you got to find it in God's word. It's not just there in the clouds. And so that's one reason why it's not natural for you to think you've got to stop on the 7th day. You're going to want to keep on working. But don't be wiser than God. This is God's pattern. You flaunt it at your expense. Respect the Christian calendar. You will be honoring God. You'll be blessing yourself and putting a smile on our face. Oh, one final thing we do on the Sabbath before we close. The fourth and final duty of this commandment is on the Sabbath, you are to do acts of mercy and acts of necessity. So Jesus really made it clear in his gospel ministry that he expects certain things to be done, certain work to be done on the Sabbath. And actually doing them will refresh you. Recently, our kids were having a talk. We did a lot of mission trips as a young family back in the day, and a lot of them say, you know, I really was most refreshed when we would go somewhere and serve rather than go somewhere and be served. There is something refreshing to the soul and mind and body about doing acts of mercy and acts of necessity. I think of 3 this morning. Firstly, Jesus says you should be busy doing religious work. So I don't know if you've caught on by now, but my Sabbaths don't tend to be my rest day. So I rest on Mondays. And some of your elders are pulling long ones on a Sunday, and sometimes you are engaged in religious work, but especially religious workers, the ordained, work very hard on Sunday, and it's good. Jesus in Matthew 12, verse 5, cites the priests who labor in the temple as an example of religious work on the Sabbath. Another thing we should be involved in is mercy work on the Sabbath. Do mercy work. Now, you'll have to find the right balance, but some of you do paid mercy work. You're a nurse or a doctor, a firefighter, or many other jobs that promote the health and welfare and safety of the community. Others of you are volunteers. Maybe you're doing diaconal work. Maybe you're visiting the shut-in. Maybe you're visiting the sick and the lonely, the poor, the hospitalized, the little ones of the church, the youth of the church, the young adults of the church, young families of the church. And so you are doing you are doing mercy work. And we see that from Matthew 12, verse 9, where Jesus, I mean, he just kept healing on the Sabbath. I sometimes wonder if he'd wait to the Sabbath so he could heal on the Sabbath and totally mess with the minds of the rabbis. And then thirdly, acts of necessity. And Jesus talked about the need to lift a hurt animal out of a pit on the Lord's Day and not leave the creature to suffer. And so that means kids helping mom and dad to do the dishes, helping them set the table, helping deacons clean up the church a little bit afterwards, helping to set up place settings and tear down at our fellowship meals. There are so many things that are works of necessity. Sometimes that means to take your dog for a walk. Our dog gets really shut in all day, and we've got to get him out. Sometimes it means take yourself for a walk, or take your children for a walk. Go to some awesome parks in the community. I know many of them. And Ottawa County has up to 42 parks now. I can tell you about most of them. And maybe you're socially lonely, and you need a friend, or you need to be a friend to someone. And so these are a day for mercy and necessity. All right, so we'll close now with our final point, and it's very brief. Why the Sabbath? Verse 11, the Lord gives his answer. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. So why the Sabbath? Because it's God's pattern. It's God's pattern for life. He followed it. He instituted it upon us. Do you know God didn't have to create the Sabbath? God didn't need to rest, right? All of you kids in theology class, you'll ask, oh, well, God doesn't need to rest. He's infinite in power, right? You ever wonder, why did God rest? Because he liked it. The infinite, all-powerful, never-tiring God liked to rest. He liked to reflect. Like the infinite God who knows everything simultaneously at once liked to reflect upon his creation and see its glory and declare that it was good. And he wants you. He did this for you, that you might reflect and look back and look forward and rest and be refreshed in his divine 6-in-1 pattern. And he desires you and I to do the same, to delight in the creation and to delight in our Redeemer, Jesus, who in redeeming the creation changed the day of the week from the last day of the week to the first day of the week, Resurrection Sunday. So let us, by God's grace, follow his pattern of work and rest, and I hope some of the diagnostic questions shared with you this morning, you'll continue the conversation this afternoon and tonight with someone you loved. And let all God's people agree by saying, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the law of God, which is good and wholesome and a delight. It's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Thank you that our Lord Jesus obeyed the law fully on our behalf, forgives us for our failures, empowers us to follow it. Help us to obey the command to remember to rest for your glory and for our health and for the welfare of everybody around us. We humbly pray these things in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.